Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, Talking About Vandalia. Our podcast, Talking About Vandalia with Mayor Doug Knable, is brought to you in part by F&B Community Bank, Heck Chevrolet, Joe's Pizza and Pasta in Vandalia, and Kaskaskia Supply and Rental. Well, kind of start off, obviously, water and sewer rates were a pretty decent topic last night during the work session. And obviously, you never like to raise rates. I mean, that's never anything that you want to do. But in the situation you're in, new water treatment plant coming and things like that, it's something you kind of knew was going to have to come at some point.
Yeah, I mean, just so, to be clear and explain. So, the ordinance that sets the water rates is actually from 1996. And it's just a mathematical calculation. We get the report from our auditors that shows what our water and sewer expenses are for the year, and it compares it to the previous year. And then basically whatever that difference is, if the council decides to take no action, that's the increase. And so that's in essence what happened last night. And, our increase, or the cost of water production, were higher last year than they were the previous year. And that led to, unfortunately, what, came out to be a little over 20% increase, at least on the water side. Maybe the 96 ordinance is something we need to revisit. But again, at the end of the day, taxes don't support water and sewer. I mean, it's a commodity. It's something people use. You don't use property taxes. We don't do income taxes. This is really, payer supported. And so we have to make sure that we're covering our expenses, because if not, then that shortfall has to come from somewhere else. But, what I was trying to point out last night is, with the new water treatment plant coming online in maybe 18 months or so, it's $27 million now, is the latest estimate. We did get considerable amount of, grant funding. So we didn't have to pay for it all ourselves, mm-hmm. but we are issuing bonds. And so when you take the cost of the plant and amortize it over 50 years, you take the interest on the debt, we're going to see significant increases in expenses, potentially even, next year and the year after. So we need to be aware of how the operations really are functioning. And then the hope, and you and I have talked about this offline, the hope is when the new water plant comes online, it's more efficient. So can we get that cost of producing water down?
And the bottom line is, when it comes to the water treatment plant, this had to happen at some point. I mean, the current water treatment plant has kind of outlived its life in a lot of ways.
It's definitely antiquated, outdated, and with this opportunity, again, we were able to get anywhere between $10 to $11 million in grant money to help offset of it, including some forgivable loans. As the community wants to continue to grow and to continue to expand, a new water treatment plant, it was something we had to do. We had the opportunity. Again, that project started in 2018. It's taken almost 8 years now to get this thing, complete, or at least get the process started. Unfortunately, that's very expensive. And, the only way we can pay for it is through the water and sewer rates.
So talking about the water treatment plant, still moving forward there. I know they've done the dirt work and things like that. So ready to have official groundbreaking and keep moving.
Yeah, groundbreaking next Wednesday, the 1st of October, 10 o'clock. Again, we'll have the alderman out there and the contractor. They've got their sign. They've got their trailer in there. Been moving a lot of dirt. In the last couple of weeks, and I think we discussed this on the last podcast, the benefits of that is, they've been able to use that dirt for other projects, the YMCA being a benefactor of that. An exciting time. We have a new water plant supervisor came on board, started yesterday. He's got 20 plus years of experience, came from a plant in Maryville. He's excited to be here. So, a lot of good things going, in the area of water. And again, despite the rates, a lot of positive things moving forward.
And talking about the new superintendent, you kind of mentioned last night, he gets to come in here and in the next 18 months, take over a new water treatment plant. That was definitely a draw.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, I mean, he lives kind of in the area. It would closer for him from, to drive here and then to Maryville. But yeah, the thought of having a new plant, kind of getting it off the ground, was definitely one of the, you know, the things that appealed, you know, this position to him.
So a lot of discussion last night on the lake, did move forward, with one part. And I know it looks like a small part, but it's a big deal. You have to do it. You have to get that point to go forward and be able to get some of the grant money going forward.
Yeah, I mean, there was really kind of two conversations last night about the lake. And again, we had a really good attendance from people that reside out the lake. You know, as we've committed, as I committed in the, at the past meeting we had, you know, this is a priority. We are going to do something. And to your point, there's kind of two ways to go about it. One of it is more the global approach, where we realize to take care of the lake moving forward, it's going to take more resources than we have. We're going to have access to grant money. And the way you do that in Illinois is to have this watershed plan. So what we did, the first step we did last night was, you know, we have a grant writer who's going to write a grant. The grant's actually due in 2 weeks. So, you know, at the time
he did say he could get it done.
He said he'd get it done. Yeah. And we will be reaching out to that point. We will be reaching out, to certain organizations and businesses in the community. We need letters of support, for this grant. But what this grant will do, if we're awarded, will pay for the cost of the watershed plan. And the watershed plan, you know, could be anywhere from $70,000 to $80,000. But what that plan does is it takes a, you know, it looks at the entire lake, and, you know, again, hits the areas that we need to address, you know, and then kind of prioritizes those. And then as we submit for grants to the state, you know, through the EPA in the future, the fact that we have an actual watershed plan in place, you know, kind of puts you in front of the line, so to speak. We've submitted for grants in the past. The last watershed plan that we had was from 2003. You know, obviously, it's over 20 years old. As a result, we weren't successful in getting those grants. So this, again, to your point, is a very small step that we have to do as we take this more global approach to the lake. But the other part of that is, in the interim, we've got to do something. We've got, you know, a couple coves that have real concerns. And so what we pledged to do last night was, you know, there are a couple of different contractors that we will have discussions with. Matter of fact, we're meeting with one of them next Tuesday at the lake to take a tour to see if there's something that, you know, we can do in small phases to address some of the concerned coves that we have right now. So that, again, that's going to happen next Tuesday. You know, I pledged again to the lake owners last night, you know, this is a priority. We will, you know, we will find the resources to address some of these things on a phased in basis.
I think there was some confusion last night that it was, we were talking about two different subjects.
Oh, absolutely.
The grant part, that's separate, that's the long term, but you right. guys are still working on the short term side.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Because the watershed plan, again, we'll hopefully hear sometime next year whether we got the grant, then we put together the plan. That is 2-3 year lead time items. So, you know, we can't wait for some of this stuff. Plus, the watershed plan doesn't really impact dredging, because what we've determined is some of the state money that's available through the EPA doesn't allow for dredging. So some of what we're talking about, we're going to have to do with our own resources. So again, that's why it's kind of a two-phased approach. We have to put the plan in motion for the long-term global approach to the lake. But in the meantime, we have to address some of those emergency areas.
Kind of wanted to roll a little bit. I know you were at Illinois Municipal League. I guess just your thoughts. How'd that go for you?
Yeah, no, it was great. My first time going to the conference. Actually went to there was a conference before that on Wednesday. Went up to basically 2 days of TIF. A lot of TIF discussions. You know, that's obviously always a hot button topic. So, you know, a lot of valuable information. Amber, Letitia, myself, Alderman Barker came up. So again, it's my first experience, was really a lot of good information, you know, things that we're going to hopefully look at some options. Keynote speaker on Friday was Mike Singletary, for all you Bears fans, just a fantastic speaker. I mean, he, you know, talks about leadership and, you know, the qualities and, you know, the importance of being a leader. So, again, we're kind of an emotional speech. Really glad I got to hear that. But the conference, a good, great experience, a lot of good information, and I think you'll be seeing some things at the city level coming out of it.
Did you get to meet some other mayors while you were up here too?
Yeah, I mean, so yeah, a lot of the mayor of St. Elmo was there, mayor of Greenville were there, you know, representatives from Highland, it's a lot of people, right? So yeah, you try to make around, you make the circuit. A lot of vendors, you know, there's a vendor section. So, you know, there's a lot of professional services type people that are there that maybe you can rely on for advice in the future. So, yeah, I think for my first year, I really appreciated it. I think we'll get more of it next year as you know, I've experienced it, you know, and kind of will have a plan of attack moving forward.
So one thing we did talk about, you guys did talk about last night, was dealing with properties in town.
Sure.
Had the meeting with Zach Kopp and went through that. And it seemed like that went well. It seemed like, for the most part, you know, the plan's there. It's just you got to be patient sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, I think the whole purpose was to get everybody on the same page because, you know, the aldermen hear about certain properties. Zach's got his list that he's been working on. You know, there's also a process, you know, that includes Ryan, our city attorney. You know, so the point was to make sure, one, that we're kind of all on the same page. And then, two, is there a way to make this process more efficient? Are there things that Zach and Letitia can do at the city level that doesn't necessarily have to invite or, you know, involve legal counsel, which can sometimes delay the process, right? So, yeah, I think, you know, Zach provided a list of properties that's kind of on his radar that he's working with. There's 8 properties that he is engaged with the the owners of the property. You know, we have clearance on 2 properties to, you know, unfortunately start demolition. So that'll probably happen sometime in the next 30 days. There's a balance, and we've talked about this in the past. There's some properties that need to come down, but then there's, you know, are there some other opportunities? Some of these properties, you know, are there investors in the community who rehab properties to keep the properties on the tax roll? The biggest thing though is just engaging with the owners as much as we can to let them know there are options. If there's a situation that they're struggling with, you know, is there something that the city can do to help? If a lot of times these are properties that, you know, somebody unfortunately has passed away, it's passed down to heirs that don't live here. They don't know what to do with the property. So Zach does a really nice job of trying to reach out, you know, have those conversations with them and, you know, let them know that there are options. The other side of it too is, unfortunately, a lot of these properties get bought by, you know, out of town tax buyers. They get bought, you know, and then it really limits our ability to do things because of the notifications that are required. You know, a lot of times these are multi-layer corporations or LLCs, you know, so one LLC will buy it, another LLC will own it. So you've got to find out, kind of peeling back the layers to find out who the real owner is and give them notification. So that delays the process. So the more we can be proactive and Zach can have conversations, you know, on the front end. So we ultimately want to try to avoid the legal process because that just bogs everything down.
Yeah. And even Ryan, city attorney, kind of said that last night. Once he gets involved, that's going to slow things up.
Well, not only does it slow it down, it makes it more expensive.
Right.
So, yeah. So we'd much rather, you know, again, if we can use the money we'd pay on legal fees to tear properties down, you know, maybe it's a case if we could work with the local investors or two to, you know, maybe some incentives to rehab some of these properties. And I think coming out of back to the IML conference, you know, there are some housing programs out there, you know. So again, I think there's going to be some things, especially with regards to residential properties, you know, moving forward that, with Amber and Letitia, myself, and some others that are going to try to come up with some programs and take part of some other programs that are already in place to help and, you know, incite or, you know, entice, I should say, residential development.
So 4 months in, you're past the honeymoon period, right? So
yeah, I think. Well, I mean, and again, I think we have tried. Again, I campaigned on transparency. I think I've tried to be as transparent as we can. We're taking on some issues that, you know, maybe should have, I don't know how to say it, maybe should have been taken on in the past. But again, this isn't easy, and I'm not, you know, don't feel sorry for me. I knew what I was getting into. You know, we've got a very good team. You know, the council is engaged, you know, all the city, you know, Letitia, Amber, and Carla, obviously. You know, we're just going to take problems head on as they come. We're not going to kick the can down the road. You know, we've learned that there's no quick fixes. But I've said this from the very beginning, you have to have a plan, and it all starts with that. Where do we want to be? And then we can develop on how to get there. And again, we, you know, I think if anything we've proven in this first 4 months is, you know, we're not afraid to take on challenges head on.
I think one of the things, because you have taken on some things, it's kind of, It's kind of intensified it a little bit, I think, maybe the first 4 months or so.
Yeah, I think so. No, in a positive way, right? So mm-hmm. we have people engaged. You've been to all the meetings. You see, we've had good attendance. That's a good thing. You don't want to go to meetings. You know, I was on the county board for a couple of terms. You know, if you took away the county office holders, there wasn't a lot of public involvement. And that's not a criticism. It's just reality. Here, yeah, we're talking about real life issues that impact people, especially things like water rates. I get it. I understand the increase. It sucks. I understand it. But it's something we have to do because we have to, you know, again, and we said this earlier, you turn on a water faucet, the water doesn't just come out. There's a process, right? There's a distribution system. There's employees that have to maintain that. So, you know, we have to make sure that we have the resources and we are, you know, acting diligently enough that we can continue to provide those. And so sometimes these are, I'll say, controversial, but they're challenging, and mm-hmm. that's okay. That's part of the process.
Again, thank you for listening to our podcast, Talking About Vandalia with Mayor Doug Knable. This podcast is brought to you in part by F&B Community Bank, Heck Chevrolet, Joe's Pizza in Poston, Vandalia, and Kaskaskia Supply and Rental. You can find all of our podcasts under our podcast tab on our website at vandaliaradio.com.